Welcome to Vantage Point, the broadcast ministry of St. Mark's Institutional Baptist Church. This is Reggie Lawrence, pastor of St. Mark's, and I want to welcome you once again to the Monday morning edition of Vantage Point. This week, I want to spend time talking about spiritual warfare. I've got a question. Do you know that we are at war? We are at war as Christians in the world. You and I need to know that. There is a full-scale war raging against the people of God. The war has this purpose, to usurp and misdirect the authority, the power of the purposes that are given to us by God himself. The war seeks to cancel out the reign and rule of God here on earth. Let me say right up front that the final chapter has already been written, and we will win. We ultimately will prevail. We have the victory. But the war rages on in time, and our progress as Christians, Christian families, as the beloved community, as the church, as the kingdom of God, will prosper or suffer based on how the battle goes. Now, the first rule of warfare that we have to attend to is we need to know who the enemy is. We do have an enemy. And if you're going to fight a war, you need to know who the enemy is. Our enemy is personified evil. We know him best as Satan. He is a created and fallen spiritual being who operates in many ways and guises with a singular job description. His job description is given to us at John, the Gospel of John, chapter 10 and verse 10. And that is, he has come to rob, to kill, and to destroy. He robs of us of our authority, of our purpose, of our influence. He kills us. He literally takes us out by his machinations. He destroys the things that we seek to build up. He comes but to rob, to kill, and to destroy. He is a thief. He is a liar. He is the father of lies, and he is a tempter. It was as a tempter that he tried our Lord Jesus Christ, and we find the story of that temptation at Matthew and chapter 4. It's at the beginning of the ministry of Jesus Christ. He has just been baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River, and beginning at Matthew chapter 4, we find this relation of his temptation. I'll be reading from the New King James Version, and I'd like you to follow along at home. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. The first thing I want to point out, that Jesus was led up by the Spirit of God into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. That was the purpose of the Spirit, to place him under temptation, to make him available for temptation. It was a testing. It was a trying of Jesus at the beginning of his ministry to help to perfect him for ministry. All of us will have to endure testing. We'll have to endure trials, including temptation. So the Spirit at the beginning led him up into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him up into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus said to him, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Again, the devil took him up on an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, the angels came and ministered to him. These are the temptations of Jesus Christ by Satan. And what's critical about this is that these temptations fall into the same three categories of temptations that we all face. The three points of temptation are the lust of the flesh. In the lust of the flesh, the temptation was that Jesus might turn stones into bread. He was hungry. He had fasted for 40 days and for 40 nights. And he says, "If you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread," knowing that he would be satisfying his flesh. When we have no discipline over fleshly desires, when we are not able to discipline ourselves against the demands of the flesh, the demands of natural appetites, no matter how natural the appetite, we should control our flesh. We should control our appetites, because the failure to control the appetite will lead to destruction. And so Jesus says, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone." We don't live by just satisfying our appetites. We don't live by just gathering those things that we need or we desire materially. We live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. God is not opposed to bread. God is not opposed to appetite satisfaction. He gave us appetites. But we are, as human beings, we should have control over them. This turns a potential enemy into a servant. The second area of temptation is the lust of the eye. Satan showed him all the kingdoms of the world. Now, there's a implication here that the kingdoms of the world were under Satan's control. And that is true. That's consistent with Scripture. He is called in Scripture the prince of the world. The kingdoms of the world are not ruled under the rulership of God. God is overall, and whatever happens in the world is done by the sufferance of God, by the permission of God. But the direct rule comes from Satan. It comes from the world. The world system is an enemy to God. And the lust of the eye, the kingdoms of this world, the material goods of this world, the greatness that would come as the head of these kingdoms, this was a temptation to Christ. It is the lust of the eye that drags many of us down to destruction. The third area was the pride of life. And when Jesus was taken to the pinnacle of the temple and tempted to throw himself down, there Satan quoted Scripture. He quoted Psalm 91, saying, "It is written that his angels will take charge of thee and protect you, lest you dash your foot against a stone." That was to indicate to Jesus, "You are supposedly the Son of God. Then why don't you use your position? Why don't you use your status to save you? And if you do so, men will gladly worship you. They'll say, 'Look at what he's able to do. Look at the influence that he has over even the angels of heaven.'" And Jesus answered him and said, "It is also written that thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Brothers and sisters, how often we tempt the Lord our God. I think of, I talked last week, I believe, about my experience with smoking cigarettes. And that's only one of the things that we do to tempt God. We feel that, well, if God loves me, then he'll save me. He'll heal me. I'll keep doing things that are self-destructive. But we are not to tempt the Lord our God. We are to live the best life we possibly can by following the dictates, the principles of the Lord our God. So Jesus was tempted on those three points of temptation: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. We note that his success in overcoming the temptations was by application of the Word of God. The Word of God is more powerful than any temptation. The Word of God is more powerful. The truth within the Word of God is more powerful than any lie. We also note that Satan was pretty adept at using the Word of God also. He couched some of the temptations that he put before Christ in the Word of God. The temptations came by way of Satan, but they incorporated three great areas of temptation: the world, the flesh, and Satan himself. The world is an enemy of God. It's a foreign place for the rule of God. Look at what it said in 1 John chapter 2, beginning at verse 15. It says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." There again, we see these three points of temptation, and we see that the world is the seat of that temptation and the focus of that temptation. The third area is the flesh. The flesh is the self, selfish desires, selfish appetites. If unrestrained, the flesh, the self, will lead us to destruction. If a person lives only by selfish desires and by selfish appetites, without the constraint of consideration for others, without the constraint of the application of morals, which come from God, if a person lives by self or lives by the flesh, he is actually at war with himself. And we find that in Galatians chapter 5, beginning at verse 16, where we read, "The flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these two are contrary one to another." So the world, the flesh, and the devil orchestrating the effect of the world, the contrary effect of the world and of the flesh even, to help defeat us and defeat our purposes. These constitute our great enemy in our spiritual walk. Well, we're going to take a deeper look at spiritual warfare as we go through the week. And I'm asking that you pray with us and that we might be blessed in this study. And stay with us all week long as we go deeper and deeper into God's Word. This is Pastor Reggie Lawrence for Vantage Point, the broadcast ministry of St. Mark's Institutional Baptist Church. And until we get together again, for Vantage Point, keep looking up. Fly way up in the sky. I believe he can. So what I choose to believe.